Welcome to the jungle. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. All right, so we are radio only for hour number three, but we are still here and still on several hundred radio stations nationwide, satellite radio, wherever else you can find the program. 1-800-636-8686. So rare is the moment where the jungle just stops in its tracks. That was one of those moments because you had a legendary and iconic caller make a second call long after the fact. And normally a guy like that knows well enough to leave well enough alone. You make that one call, you walk off on that call, and then you're a legend. However, almost inevitably, nearly 100% of the time, when you get a taste and you get a little bit of that drug, you get high, you get addicted. It's like doing crack once and then you're a crackhead. This guy was smart about it. He didn't do that. He didn't become that guy. Because what happens is you get intoxicated or you get high and then you want that feeling again. And then you call a second time and you don't get that feeling, but you're chasing that feeling. So you keep calling and you keep making it worse and it waters it down. And then everybody forgets that you made the first call the first time. Not the Chicken Man. The Chicken Man remarkably made a second call that was as good or better than the first call. That is unheard of on this show. So the reaction is what you might expect. And this is what I like about the clones. You clones are kind of like me, and this is the one thing you've taken from me that's good. One of the main premises of the show has always been, when somebody deserves to get hyped, I'm going to hype them. I'm going to go all in. When somebody deserves to get cracked, they're going to get cracked. And you clones are good like that. That guy deserved to get hyped, and he's getting a lot of positive run. At Simon Boulevard tweets, holy crap, that was amazing. Hashtag the Chicken Man. At TDT216, quote, war the Chicken Man. At Saltier 2021, Chicken Man just laid a golden ticket. At Keep It A Buck 34 tweets, holy bleep, JR. Send the Chicken Man right to the meat of the order of the 22 Smackoff lineup. Holy. Hashtag chicken beef. At Mock Moda tweets, great Rome. First a dog, then a mat in LA, and now a chicken in the Smackoff. It went from the jungle to the garden and now to a bleeping zoo. WTF, man. Hey, Moda, you're acting like I put you in. You gonna tell me that guy didn't make it better? Moda? Come on, Moda, do better. And Mike and Minnie, the Chicken Man is back, and he just served out a three-piece combo with fries. Baka! And Maytag Zag tweets, if Jim calls him the Chicken Man, it's no longer a self-gloss. He is now jungle baptized as the Chicken Man. That is his new name. Not that we knew what his name was anyway. Enjoy your golden ticket, Chicken Man. See, that's interesting, right? If I'm calling him Chicken Man, is it not accepted? And then if it's not accepted by me, then should he not be in the montage? Lots of technicalities. What I don't understand is, and I partly do not understand it, and I partly respect it, why would you want to be with those other losers? You obviously are set apart from the group. Why do you want to be with those bags? I'm not giving the zookeeper a golden ticket. I'm not giving any of them a golden ticket. Why do you want to be grouped in with those bags? Or maybe he doesn't now. At Rip City AK, move the hell over, B.I.C. Steven in Orlando is the top rooster in the jungle now. Two calls and two dimes. Legend. All right, easy, Matt. Easy. He has made two calls.
It's two for me.
And he has two dimes. But the B.I.C. has made like seven calls on the day that it mattered most. and made seven dimes. He's got like 14 Smackoff wins. Let's not get crazy. 1-800-636-8686. Anyway, we gave away a golden ticket. It felt good. I mean, there's giving away a golden ticket, and it always feels good, but then there's giving away that golden ticket to that guy. Because I was so convinced when I found out what he was calling about that it was going to end with him getting hammered again. And the reverse happened. That's how good that guy was. My expectation was, we're going to hammer that guy again. Because you don't ask into the montage. I've already laid it out. Rules are rules. Rule number one, do not self-gloss. Rule number two, you're not in the montage because you self-glossed on a day when I allowed it. So just go with it, chicken man. Just go with being a legend. And the guy called back and doubled down and became a bigger legend. And not only did I not run him, I ran him, or I racked him and gave him a golden ticket. Never would have seen that coming. Even from the chicken man. I guess size does matter. Unbelievable. Carl is here, tweets, A or F. I smashed the volume up on my headphones the moment you introduced the chicken man, knowing it would be one or the other. The call was both A plus and effing awesome. War. It's true. I don't know how you topped that first call, and he did. He did. That is a, I'm like, what do you do next if you're the chicken man? That's the problem, man. How do you keep raising that chicken bar? He's got some time to think about it. We don't even have a date yet. That was a great jungle moment. That's why I'm milking it, man. You got to enjoy it. You have to enjoy the great moments. Give me an A or give me an F. That was an A plus. That was some good, good, good stuff. We have an interview to end the program, so we may or may not hear that back. Alan, we're playing that back. We will play that back. There's going to be a huge call. I'm going to tell you that right now. I need to hear that back. That's going to be even funnier in replay, I think. All right, then. We handle that. Ben Golver's coming up at 11:40. Evidently, Bill Belichick would rather talk Thanksgiving grub than about his team's matchup with the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. Big game, right? Titans were 8-2. Looking like they could be the top seed overall in the AFC. Remember, the top seed is the only one that gets a bye now. The rules changed. So that means more than ever before. And then they get slammed by the Texans. So this is a big, big game. But don't expect the hood to break down the technicalities of that big, big game. Even if his Patriots are back atop the AFC East. Even if his Patriots are playing their best ball since that nerd left town and won a ring. You see, the hood, he can care less about any of that. He's not going to elaborate on anything important or anything relevant, even as he gets ready to square up against his former player and a guy who's turned out to be a damn good head coach in his own right, Mike Vrabel. However, the host of the Greg Hill Show was smart. He knows better than to get this guy going on something that he doesn't want to talk about because he won't get him going. However, he went in a different direction. You get this guy going on his favorite Thanksgiving dish, and then you better clear the hell out and let this guy do work. And that's exactly what the Greg Hill Show on WEEI did yesterday. Again, nothing in the entire interview on how they plan to attack the team with the best record in the AFC. But, and this was smart, plenty on how the hood plans on attacking his Thanksgiving feast on Thursday and what he plans to take away first.
If there were only one side dish that were able to be on the table Thursday, what would you want it to be?
Oh, boy. Well, it'd be hard for me to turn down any type of potatoes, so, you know, I'll go with whatever, mashed potatoes, scalloped, or, you know, baked, or however they're
au gratin
made. But, yeah, you bet.
Twice baked. Yeah. Extra
load,
sour cream.
Load them up. Yeah.
That's Wiggy's favorite.
Maybe a little bacon, Bill, for feeling
you bet.
Crazy.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Throw some butter on there. Yeah, just, you know, starch me up.
Have a great Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you again a week from today. Thanks, Bill.
Great, thanks, Jeff. Same to you and all your listeners. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy bleeping Thanksgiving hood. Did he just say, starch me up?
You know, starch me up.
I mean, damn, dude. Did he really just say, starch me up?
Starch me up.
This is incredible. This cat could have easily have given a generic throwaway answers, but clearly he loves him some taters. Oh, boy. Did he say, oh, boy, too? Oh, boy is right, mumbler. And move the hell over. We're on to Cincinnati. Do your job. No days off. Because you better damn
We're
make room
Cincinnati.
At the feast of the hood phrases. The hood has popularized starch me up.
Starch me up.
Don't tell me there's not some deadbeat somewhere who's slamming that on a hat and a coffee mug and a mouse pad and anything else they can. A tea and whatever. Starch me up, hood.
Starch me up.
This dude. I wonder who he tells that to when he puts his plate out for a serving. Steven? Quit licking your face, son. Starch me up. Hey, son. Stop licking your face. Pass me the spuds. I mean, from the sounds of it, I bet the hood does not even let Steven out of the basement for the annual Thanksgiving Day feast at the Belichick prison until he gets his spuds first. And that this guy loves starch should not surprise anybody at all. Like his defenses, he is open-minded and versatile with it, right? Options for days. He can give you so many different looks. Think about it defensively. What kind of a defensive genius is this guy? He can give you every single look imaginable. This is why quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, veteran quarterbacks, Hall of Fame quarterbacks are so confused by this guy. Because there's every look imaginable. Of course he's all about the potatoes. Mashed, scalloped, au gratin, baked, loaded up. Throw some butter in there. Get some bacon bits in there. Sour cream. Whatever. Just starch the old man the hell up.
Starch me up.
Bacon too? Yes, please. This dude's obsession with starch is almost as bad as Ritz's love of sugar. And you know what? I can't hate. Who doesn't like spuds on Thanksgiving Day? Who doesn't want to get starched up? Man, the mumbler. All this guy ever does is mumble in pressers and interviews and any interaction whatsoever with the media about garbage and spitting cliches when it comes to football. But every so often, somebody will find a sweet spot on this mumbler, and you've got this dude's heart, his mind and his heart. Clearly, potatoes and dogs are it, at least this season. Remember earlier this year when a Patriot beat writer, Evan Lazar, he had a dog, Atlas, sneak in and then steal the show on a Zoom call? Listen to how giddy the hood gets when he sees that dog.
I wanted to ask you what your impressions are so far of Henry Anderson this summer and just what you've seen out of Henry.
Well, Henry's a smart player that has a lot of experience, and it's like, you got your buddy there. Can we have him ask the next question? And then we get Nike to answer.
Absolutely.
I mean, listen to the hood. Just getting nice about Atlas asking questions and saying that maybe they could get Nike Belichick to answer. This like, dude's downright giddy.
It's like, you got your buddy there.
Listen to him. You can hear the smile in his voice.
It's like, you got your buddy there.
He's smiling.
Have him ask the next question.
He's enunciating. He's got unbelievable energy. This dude never looks or acts that happy, even after wins, even after winning the Super Bowl. Listen to how happy this guy is.
It's like you got your buddy there.
Hey, get your buddy there. Hey, you got a dog.
Question. And then we get Nike to answer.
You know what's better than a Lombardi? A dog. A dog. I mean, this dude is something else. This guy's incredible. You want to get this guy going? Ask him about a dog. A baked potato.
A car.
Hash browns.
A car.
Twice baked.
A car.
Au gratin.
A car.
Looky here. What do we got here? Old Radio Man is back. And what a shocker. He's got something to say about my love for the Yam game. Hey, Radio Man. I heard you talk about a cheeseburger nonstop for 3 weeks. This and that about that cheeseburger in New York. You think I know defense? I know more about the starch game. Don't even get me started on tater tots, Radio Man. Oh, but you and that cheeseburger in New York, bitch. Yeah, you're going to take a run at me for taters and baked potatoes and hash browns, but all I hear about for 3 weeks is you and your cheeseburger. Okay, here's a word for that, Radio Man. Bitch. There's another word for that, Radio Man. Hypocrite. There's a third word for that, Radio Man. Bitch. What are you talking about, man? I told the organization to kiss the starch on my ass, all right? I'm moving to New England. New York? Yeah, how about New York? How about New York and your hamburger, right? I was in New York. I coached New York for a day. For a day. So what did I do? I told them to kiss the starch on my ass, or my ass on my starch, or whatever I told them. I was only there one day. Now look at me. What do you got to say about that, Radio Man? 6 Super Bowls, bitch. And now they're starting Joe Flacco. Oh, one more thing about you, Radio Man. You're taking a run at me for liking dogs. Oh, all right, so I got a dog, and he's got a dog. And I like both those dogs. You're a cat guy, aren't you, Radio Man? Aren't you wise ass? That's what I thought. There's a word for you. There's a word they use to describe people like you, Radio Man. Bitch.
It's like you got your buddy there.
Hood. Easy. Easy, mumbler. I'm not hating. I'm appreciating. Seriously, nothing but love for you, Hood Man. I just wish you would engage us a little bit with this crazy football wisdom you have. And Cher, I know you have the same passion for football that you do taters. I know you have the same passion for football that you do dogs. I just want you to let us in. Let us in. That's it, Hood. That's it. I'm all about what you're doing. Listen, step off that. Step back for a minute. I am so appreciative of what you are doing. Pats fan, I am a believer in what the hell you're all about. And for everybody who buried this potato-craving, dog-loving mumbler, you can kiss the starch on his ass. The Pats are good. They're damn good. They have ripped off 5 straight, and they have been dominating fools lately. And as always, he has them playing their best ball when it matters most. They have a power running game. They have a physical, smart, tenacious defense that plays a-hole ball. They've got a rookie quarterback in Mac Jones who is taking care of the football. Life is good within the Patriot Nation. And no offense, Titans fan, the way you looked against the pathetic Texans last Sunday, your best shot at beating the Mumbler's Pats might be if them potatoes put him in a Thanksgiving Day coma. Because right now, from the looks of things, you have no shot at beating these guys. They are playing really well. Starch me up.
Starch me up.
This dude. I'm telling you, this guy. Seriously, throw tots and dogs out there, and you have this 69-year-old mumbler's heart. And maybe you should try that more often, TB44.
Radio Man, are you trying to pass that off as a compliment?
Hey, Radio Man, I bet I can eat more starch than that angry human penis who calls your show from Buffalo and talks junk about me. What's his name? Dick? Rick? Who is he? Hell, the way his Bills are playing, I'll bet you Sean's team beats him on Thursday. Why don't you eat some, Bills fan? You too, Radio Man.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, Bill. I'm not hiding or twisting anything. I'm giving you nothing but respect. Nothing but respect for the way your team is playing right now. And if you could somehow chase TB44's ring with a ring of your own a year later with a rookie quarterback, that would be one of the most amazing things I have ever seen in my sporting life, honestly. And it's possible. It's possible. Don't get it twisted. I'm just looking for some of this passion and energy that you have for potatoes, for football. I know you have it. Let us in. Let us in. Let us in. Dude, I'll walk Nike if you let us in. All right, let's get out really quickly.
It's like you got your buddy there.
Okay, he's downright giddy about potatoes and dogs. Thanksgiving week, obviously. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, has your shot to gobble up some winnings. New customers can play for free for millions with their first deposit, because nothing goes better with your turkey and your stuffing and your pie than feasting on big cash prizes from DraftKings. You do not want to sleep on this offer. Playing daily fantasy football is simple. You simply pick out your lineup of NFL stars. You stay under the salary cap. You score enough points to bring home cash, and with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, you will have another reason to be thankful this year. DraftKings is safe, it's secure, it's reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app, use the code Rome, play for free for millions this Thanksgiving weekend. That's code Rome, and get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
A number of you want to reset the Chicken Man and how he won that golden ticket. I will in a moment. But first, a quick question. Why is old Trapper Beef Jerky so amazing? Well, again, there is something to be said for a family business, which is going to stand by quality and does produce the world's best beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. I cannot be emphatic enough about this. Beef jerky is not just beef jerky. It's not all the same. Far from it. Old Trapper is just better. You can see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough, and it's because they use the best ingredients of all. From their lean strips of beef seasoned with top quality spices to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers every single time and every single bite, and it comes in four amazing flavors: Old Fashioned, which is classic beef jerky flavor, exceptionally tender, smoky, and delicious. There is Teriyaki with the yellow label, and you've also got Peppered. And you can go with a 4-ounce bag or go with an 18-ounce bag. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares Old Trapper with your beef. All right, so very quickly, I don't need to do a big setup or a big run-up to it, but the Chicken Man made a call back. And the reason he called back is he wanted to be included with the other self-glossers. I was ready to hammer him and not let him in. In the end, I didn't let him in, but I did one better. I gave him a golden ticket because he did this. We go to the phones. Steven, dude, is it really you, or are you messing with us?
I am him, Jim. I'm just calling with some beef here. I know that these are typically reserved for Wednesdays, so I'm here to talk chicken. Now, I know better than to call the greatest talk show in the history of sports to question the Pimpin' DeBox's judgment and that of the sound wizard Alvin DeLauro. But how the heck are we not going to have me, the Chicken Man, on a self-gloss reel because of some technicality? Is it really a self-gloss reel if you don't have the best to ever do it on it? What kind of bleep is that? What are we doing? This is truly a travesty of the highest order, Jim. Give me back my gloss, and don't be a silly rabbit, Alvie. You already have enough rabbit tendencies as it is if you catch my drift. And do me a favor, Jim, and leave Matt in L.A. on hold indefinitely. There's a toilet somewhere in need, and we don't need to take him away from his duties. Wore the flight deck, James Kelly, and Big Head Betts, always a staunch supporter, and unwore bad decisions. Bah-bah!
Funny stuff. Alvie, you have enough rabid tendencies. All right, so that's what won him a golden ticket. It did not get him grouped in the montage. Because, yeah, it's a rule and a technicality, but it's a rule. Bergie 37 tweets, between the epic return of the Chicken Man and the hood fired up for starch madness. What a phenomenal show. At Hitman Canadian, rabbits wish they could keep up with Alvie. Signed, Mill.
Dude, no.
Rome, potatoes, dogs, and Bon Jovi. You figured the hood out. Jeff and Raleigh.
It's like you got your buddy there.
Squirrel 2, quote, if you, Starch Me Up, I'll Never Stop. Yours, the Rolling Stones and the Hoodie. To go to, you got in first. The rest of you can stop tweeting and emailing that. The first 100 were enough.
Starch me up.
Starch me up.
Starch me up.
If you starch me up.
Starch me up.
Wells, the chicken man, must have a big rooster to make those two calls. Dude is batting 1,000. Wells in the 720. He did it, man. Rooster man. The chicken man, I should say, with the big rooster, now has a big-ass golden ticket. What's going to happen day of? Does he have a third call in him? How do you raise that chicken bar? We'll find out. Good fun show today. Not done yet. I've got a national NBA writer for the Washington Post, Ben Golliver, joining me. Jim Rome podcast tomorrow. It's a short week, but we still have a pod. We've got a best of on Thursday. My man, Brian Weber, coming in on Friday. Weber's an icon.
Ionic.
Since I've got the Jim Rome podcast tomorrow, let me give you the voicemail number. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe you want some reps. 949-385-0447. 949-385-0447. Ben Golliver joins me next. But first, here is your bottom of the hour sports update. Here's Rich Ackerman. Welcome back. We are joined right now by a national NBA writer for the Washington Post, host of Greatest of All Talk, an NBA show, author of Bubble Ball, which is out right now. It is Ben Golliver. Ben, it is great to have you back. How are you, Ben?
I'm doing very well, Jim. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Great to have you. All right, so let's go back to Sunday night and the Lakers-Pistons game. Ben, when you saw LeBron James hit Isaiah Stewart in the face, what was your initial reaction? For instance, LeBron does not have a rep as a dirty player, but was that a dirty play?
You know, I think the refs got it right all around. Isaiah Stewart fouled him to kind of trigger his response. His response was definitely reckless. I don't think he intentionally tried to hit Isaiah Stewart in the face, but he's swinging his arm in a way that could lead to something bad happening. And I thought that warranted the ejection. I thought it warranted the first suspension of LeBron's 19-year career. And then the aftermath, obviously, Isaiah Stewart's tasting his own blood. You know, he's freaking out, and he deserved to get suspended for at least 2 games. I thought he might even have gotten off a little easy in that situation. But to me, yes, step back and look at this Lakers season. It's been very frustrating for LeBron James. When he was out injured, going back like a week or two, you could just sense his restless energy, Jim. You know, he's going over there talking to celebrities, like personally greeting them courtside. He's walking all the way out to center court to argue with officials. In a couple games when they've been getting blown out at home, he's even left the bench early, midway through the fourth quarter, to go back towards the locker room area, not staying around to the final buzzer. You could just sense that you know, he's a little bit anxious this season because it hasn't gone so well for L.A. And then on the court, it's been frustrating too. I mean, he's not getting the calls that he typically expects. You know, free throws across the league are way down this season. LeBron's been a part of that trend. He's really relying heavily on his jumper. He's not getting to the basket as much as he used to. And so you're seeing all these teams challenging him. And I think Detroit's just the most recent team to challenge LeBron and the Lakers. I think these teams around the league smell blood.
Hmm. Ben Golliver is joining us. So when you see the Lakers come back and they beat the Pistons on Sunday without LeBron, they're 9-9 on the season. You kind of laid out exactly what they're dealing with. The story goes that at the end of the third quarter, with the Lakers down 15, Ben, Carmelo Anthony told everybody, quote, "This is where we figure out who we are as a team," end of quote. I mean, is it possible they found something in that fourth quarter that can carry over going forward, or is that just a pipe dream?
Well, I just want to know, why does it take a brouhaha with a team that's won four games all season with Detroit that, you know, has been a mess for a lot of this year? Why does that have to be the spark to wake you up? I mean, this team has been, you know, sleepwalking at times, not playing very hard on defense. Anthony Davis has been frustrated on that end all season long. Certainly Frank Vogel has been frustrated on the defensive end and trying to juggle lineups to find the right combinations. I loved what I saw in the immediate aftermath of that melee, right? You got Anthony Davis. I mean, he's angry at certain points, getting great block shots late in that game, closing it out. Russell Westbrook is, you know, playing, you know, fast and playing in control and really helping close that game as well. But I think that it takes more than just one immediate hit of anger or excitement after a big fight to carry you through a long season. And I think the concerns the Lakers faced coming in this year were age-related and fit-related and health-related, right? And so far, they've been incredibly injured. Guys have been in and out of the lineup constantly, and that starts with LeBron, Jim. You know, he had better than 90% availability during his first stint in Cleveland, his stint in Miami, and then his second stint in Cleveland. In L.A., it's been at 72%. That's a big difference in terms of how many games he's been available for the Lakers over these last 4 years, and they're a totally different team without him. Frankly, to me, they look like a lottery team when LeBron's not on the court, and that's why his health is so important. But the age stuff is absolutely a major discussion point for the Lakers. They need LeBron to get back to that level of being a top five type guy in the league, someone who can completely dominate and control the action. And so far through the first month of this season, he hasn't been that guy, in part because of injuries, in part because he's still trying to figure out how to play with Russell Westbrook.
That's a really strong statement that without him, they look like a lottery team. And I'm not going to argue with you either. Ben Golver joining us. Ben, you spoke with Dwayne Wade recently. What did he tell you about the wear and tear that comes in the later years of an NBA career that can be applied to LeBron?
Well, the first thing he said is he almost retired in 2015, which is like a long time ago. You know, it was right after those four title runs, or the four finals runs, I should say, that ended up with two titles. So that tells you how long he was dealing with nagging injuries. But his major takeaway was this: the durability goes away before the skill level does. In other words, your ability to just operate on a night-to-night basis over the course of a full 82-game season, that takes a lot of management as you get older, and it did for him. And there was, you know, a lot of points late in his career where he felt like he could still go out there maybe for one game, maybe for a stretch of multiple games, or maybe even for a good chunk of the season, and still be playing at an all-star level, you know, like he did during his prime. And, you know, he cherishes this game-winning shot he hit in his last year for the Miami Heat against the Golden State Warriors as one of those moments where he got to throw back the clock and feel like he was the young Dwayne Wade, right? But the ability to get your body in position to do that night after night, it just takes a mental toll, and it winds up taking lots and lots of time. And he said basically the knick-knack injuries, that's when it starts. When you start to build up those knick-knack injuries, you know you're headed for something worse. And I think that's the concern right now with LeBron James, is there's been a number of knick-knack injuries here over these last couple of years. You know, the 1 year he was healthy in L.A., they won the championship. The other years he's been, you know, hurt on and off. And that's impacted their seasons. The first year in L.A., they missed the playoffs. Last season, they have to go to the play-in, and they lose in the first round. And this year, right now, they're in the middle of the standings, and there's no guarantee they're going to make a deep playoff run this year unless, again, LeBron can really turn it on.
Ben Golver is joining us. All right, Ben, let me ask you about Golden State. They've got the best record in the league right now. They're playing extremely well on both ends. How do you explain how far this team has come since the struggles of early last season?
Well, I think, first of all, they fixed some of their rotation issues. I mean, a guy like Kelly Oubre just didn't fit last year. They brought in some pieces that fit a lot better. I think the easiest explanation, though, is Steph Curry is just playing out of his mind, and Draymond has really stepped up his effort and intensity level. I think, you know, he made a comment recently that maybe his young kids don't realize how good of a player he was because the last couple seasons didn't go so well for him. Right now, he's the Defensive Player of the Year leader, in my mind, and Steph Curry's the MVP leader. I just look at their vibes. I mean, it was evident from very early in the preseason or even opening night against the Lakers where this team just buys in, they believe in each other, and they play system basketball. And I want to go back to the rule changes because you're seeing a lot of the scoring leaders from past years, guys who score a lot in isolation, they're not getting as many foul calls, and they're especially not getting as many foul calls on three-point shots. It's really brought scoring down league-wide, and it's impacted guys' averages. You know, a player like Steph Curry basically hasn't been impacted, right? He's still, you know, among the scoring leaders this season. He's shooting three-pointers at an insane rate. He's about to pass Ray Allen for the all-time lead in three-pointers made for a career. And he's been able to just do what he does because he plays within an offensive system rather than just being that isolation scorer. So I think the rule changes have actually played to Golden State's benefit. It's funny. I didn't see them as a top-tier contender coming into this season. I changed my tune real quick in the early going. And I think right now the only team that's played as consistent as Golden State on offense and defense throughout this season has been the Phoenix Suns. Those two teams are a cut above everybody else in the league, and I really didn't see that coming.
Ben Golliver joining us. All right, Ben, what about the Nets? As an example, Golden State thrashed them last week, but Brooklyn has won three in a row since then. Where are they right now as a team?
Well, they're waiting for Kyrie still, right? I mean, isn't that pretty much what it boils down to? You know, we've seen them gut out a lot of close victories. Kevin Durant has been in that MVP conversation as well, playing spectacularly. I know everybody loves to pile on James Harden. He did start slow, but he started to come on a little bit here over the last couple of weeks. But their offense is really just neutered compared to last year. I mean, last year they were basically unstoppable. And this year without Kyrie Irving, even though they've got some pieces to kind of, you know, plug in the gaps and they're getting, you know, helpful minutes from guys like Patty Mills, it's just not the same as having three superstar level guys on the court at the same time, right? And so I think if they really want to reach their true potential, they're going to need to find some way to get Kyrie Irving back on the court. And the crazy thing is, Jim, you know, we haven't heard from him in a month. And I remember his statement was, you know, I want to be a voice for the voiceless, something along those lines. And, you know, he has actually himself been voiceless here over the last month. I mean, basically, you know, radio silent in terms of what his season's going to look like. So I give Kevin Durant a lot of credit and actually Steve Nash a lot of credit, too, for keeping that team together, for not letting Kyrie Irving's absence kind of splinter them or break them apart, for keeping them in this title mix. But I'm not sure they're going to be able to win the championship this year if it's just, you know, a KD and Harden and the role guys. I think they need Kyrie to do it.
You know, Ben, I don't get caught up in this stuff generally, but were you watching last night on Twitter, and did it feel like KD was about to implode once again?
Look, I mean, KD just likes the trash talk, Jim. That's part of the problem. He views Twitter like he's at the park, you know, where he's just like talking with his buddies. It just so happens that his buddies on Twitter happen to be like 20 million people or whatever the follower count is. So I think it's easy to kind of take things out of context with Kevin Durant. I don't worry about the sideshow when it comes to him. I just appreciate the absolute mastery. I mean, the guy can get his shot against any team, against any defensive scheme, double teams, triple teams, good luck. And, you know, the real sign, you know, of skill is when things go wrong around you, you step up. That's exactly what happened in last year's playoffs. Kyrie goes down. James Harden's playing on one leg. Kevin Durant turns in maybe the best series of his entire life in a losing effort against Milwaukee, right? He comes back this season. Kyrie completely betrays him. You know, those guys want to go to Brooklyn together. And then all of a sudden, Kyrie doesn't show up. And Kevin Durant says, all right, well, I'm going to lead the Nets right back to the top of the Eastern Conference standings without you. I think it's impressive. I'm more worried about those kinds of accomplishments than, you know, whatever jokes about lotion or whatever is going on the internet.
He does get it done, man. He is still unguardable, and you're right. He can always get his shot whenever he needs it, whenever he wants it. It is fair and pretty sensitive on the internet, and there were lots of lotion jokes last night. Hey, Ben, really quickly, Sacramento fired Luke Walton over the weekend. As it turns out, his final game was delayed by 10 minutes in the fourth quarter when a fan puked on the floor. What do you make of Sacramento's decision to fire Luke?
Well, it was predictable. I mean, before the season, he was the most obvious guy on the NBA coaching hot seat. It never really seemed like he connected with that group. And I think a big issue was their star wasn't playing very well. I mean, De'Aaron Fox is kind of their max-level guy who they want to build around, and his numbers are way down from last season. And I think, you know, in general, you know, when ownership is looking like, is this thing going well? Is this not going well? And your prized player is underperforming, then people start to want to blame the coach for that, maybe then rather than blaming the player. You know, their defense has still been bad, although it was improved from last season. To me, they're just stuck. I mean, I don't see an easy solution. I hear from Kings fans a lot. They're like, how can we fix this thing? What trade can we make? Can we go get Ben Simmons? And it is so hard to undo, you know, 15 or 16 years of missing the playoffs when it comes to your reputation, especially when you're in a small market. So I don't see a quick fix. I don't think Luke Walton was the problem. But at the same time, you know, clearly he wasn't the answer in Sacramento either.
All right, so one last thought. Go back to Dwayne Wade really quickly, your conversation with him. What's your sense, Ben, as to where he is in his life now that he's no longer playing?
Well, you know, Dwayne Wade has a lot going on. I would just say that. I mean, he's hosting television shows. He's a minority owner of the Utah Jazz. He's been trying to, you know, develop his son, who just got recently drafted in the G League. He just seems so at peace in retirement. And he just, you know, I was talking to him because he has this book coming out. And just to contrast Dwayne Wade with Scottie Pippen, right? I mean, you saw all this reckless, crazy stuff that Scottie Pippen has been saying about Michael Jordan. I mean, it's clear he's got some deep-seated anger and resentment and who knows what else towards MJ after all those great years together. And you listen to that on one hand, and then you see what Dwayne Wade says, and it's like he's just so at peace. He understands exactly where he stands in the NBA's pantheon. He's like, look, you know, guys like Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, you know, they're above me in the pantheon of all-time greats, but, you know, I'm right there after those guys. And he just has a very clear sense of who he is, and he seems very happy in his home life as well. And that's nice to see. It's a very difficult transition for players to make. He's done great as a commentator as well on television. And you just wish, you know, maybe Dwayne Wade could, like, sit Scottie Pippen down and tell him to chill out and get him back on the right track here.
My man, a national NBA writer for the Washington Post, host of Greatest of All Talk, an NBA show. He is the author of Bubble Ball, an excellent book. It's out right now. Good friend of the program. He is Ben Golliver. Ben, really appreciate the visit, as always. Extremely well done. Thanks for doing that, Ben. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Hey, real quick request, Jim. I need to cash in all my jungle karma. I need a win for University of Michigan against Ohio State Saturday. I know that's a big request, but hopefully the clones have my back. We need this one, man.
All right, Ben. Appreciate you. I don't know that I can sign off on that one, but yeah, I can explain that to you later on if you don't already know. All right. It is a big one, though, for sure. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close. They're convenient. They're known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. See you tomorrow.